here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, December 1st, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. It has sure been a jam-packed week filled with market-moving headlines that have affected investors in nearly every sector. So on this week's show, we're going to do our best job of kind of synthesizing all of this news. So from Bitcoin hitting 11,000 and then dropping kind of all the way back to 9,200 to the tax reform bill so that you have everything you need to know.
Yeah, and as we head into the holidays and wrap up what has been a relatively bullish 2017, we're starting to see some early indicators on what 2018 may have in store for Wall Street. So we're also going to discuss what all of this news could mean for the next month of trading and if we will continue to see those effects into the new year.
So first, Ryan is going to recap what was surely a monumental week for the world's hottest cryptocurrency that many people still really don't understand.
Yeah, more people getting to understand it. We're actually going to get to a trend that emerged over Thanksgiving weekend that I think may have had to do with some Thanksgiving dinner conversations. We'll get to that in a second. But it was definitely a very interesting week for Bitcoin. On Wednesday, the crypto touched two new milestones in just a matter of hours, reaching $10,000 for the first time in morning hours and surging as high as $11,000 by early afternoon. But in that very same day, the price plummeted back down to about $9,500, only to continue its slump back towards $9,000 on Thursday morning. Still, the cryptocurrency is up significantly from the $2,000 levels it was at as recently as 6 months ago. So as I mentioned, I'm calling this week's surge the Thanksgiving effect. We have some evidence here. Interestingly, Coinbase is the largest online platform for buying and selling Bitcoin and a few other cryptocurrencies as well. Added about 100,000 users over the holiday weekend. And I have a sneaking suspicion that, and this is based off of my own personal experiences and just what I think was the tech trend to talk about in Thanksgiving, that all of these new users, some of them were spurred by new interest that was invoked while talking about it over Thanksgiving dinner. I know in my personal family Thanksgiving, I was in charge of explaining Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency market to at least four over 70-year-old people. And that was a challenge.
Wait, how old were they?
Over 70 years old. And they had
over 70. Yeah. Okay.
So they had not quite, a couple people who hadn't heard of it, a couple people who had just heard of the word and didn't really know what it meant. People really confused with why it was worth money, things like that. And so I think a lot of people were having very similar conversations over the Thanksgiving break. And I think that's why we saw so many new users on Coinbase over the weekend. And I will say, if you look back in time, it seems like we have one tech-related topic of conversation at least per year to talk about over Thanksgiving. I think last year, everyone was talking about self-driving cars. When are those going to happen? Looking all the way back to like 2009, it was all, what's a Twitter? And years after that, we were explaining Groupon to our older relatives, and I think this year's topic of conversation was Bitcoin. So, as I said, looking ahead now, crypto investors will have to sort through these unknowing newcomers and fight a variety of challenges, including maybe some regulatory pressure in the next few months to establish some consistency. But as we look towards 2018 and well beyond that, if we're being completely honest, it looks like Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the blockchain technology behind it all are here to stay, whether you believe that the current price level is a bubble or not.
All right, then. That was a very nice way to put it. So moving on to taxes.
Fun. Another good Thanksgiving topic of conversation that came up several times.
My Thanksgiving was just not that exciting. We didn't really talk about Bitcoin or taxes or politics. Actually, my grandpa, so I had one of my cousins who currently lives in Germany with her husband. She's moving to Thailand at the end of January. So she came back to the States to visit before she makes the big move. My grandpa brought up politics one time, and it was to her. She was like, so what do you Germans think about Trump? She was like, I don't know. Basically, and he really wanted to know what Germany and Angela Merkel like thinks about Trump and every like the Trumpism and right-wing politics. And
I can't imagine too high.
What's really funny is that it was my cousin and then my uncle, which is like my uncle's fiance. My uncle wasn't there for random reasons, but my uncle's fiance voted for Trump. So she's always like,
so she jumped into the defense.
She didn't though. She knows. So it was just a very interesting dynamic, but it only lasted 10 minutes.
Well, that's better than I'm sure a lot of people had to endure.
Our family's very good about not bringing up politics.
Just don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yeah. Yes. It gets, because it was a very small get together this time, but when we get everyone together, usually around Christmas, that's when the drinks flow a little bit more and things get said.
More to look forward to over the upcoming holidays for you then. Yeah. And maybe this tax reform will be through by the
maybe
end.
Maybe we'll talk about taxes. Thank God it's not. I don't know. I don't know if it's like, thank God it's not healthcare. Thank God it's not taxes. I don't know what's worse. Anyways, sorry to go on that long anecdote. But Tuesday, back to taxes. Tuesday marked a very integral moment for President Trump and his fellow Republicans as the president gathered several GOP senators for a luncheon on Capitol Hill shortly ahead of a crucial Senate Budget Committee hearing. So this luncheon was apparently a success. And shortly after Trump left the Capitol, two undecided Republicans on the committee, so Ron Johnson of Wisconsin and Bob Corker of Tennessee, said they would vote to send the bill to the Senate floor. And then shortly thereafter, the Budget Committee approved the bill in a 12-11 vote that will split directly down the party line. Republican leaders are planning to conduct the final vote on the bill as early as later this week. And among other things, the bill slashes the corporate tax rate and has been welcomed with open arms on Wall Street. So tax reform has been one of Trump's key promises ever since he was campaigning about a year and a half ago, basically. Or actually almost 2 years ago, the House successfully passed their plan. The Senate really wants to pass theirs, so if the Senate passes theirs, they then have to like reconcile both of their plans. I just don't know. And then if that happens, then the plan goes to Trump's desk for a signature.
Yes, which you would presume is an insta sign from Trump, so right. It'll be up to Congress at this point. And
they really want to do it by the end of the year. I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Especially because they've got budget concerns as well.
Absolutely.
But McCain on Thursday said he was a yes, so it's looking like the Senate has the votes for this version of the bill for now.
Right. But Republicans want tax reform, I think, despite what it looks like, whether or not it's good or bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just want tax reform.
As you said, it's been, you know, one of the kind of building blocks or the foundational blocks of Trump's platform. But it's really been, you know.
I mean, Paul Ryan has desired tax reform for years.
It's going to be tough for a lot of these people who are campaigning next year to come back to their constituents and say, well, we didn't get it done. I'm sorry. So I think it will.
Well, and
end
also
up being
for Trump, if he doesn't pass it this year,
he's batting like 0%.
He'll be like a quote unquote lame duck president
already.
For like the first year. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so the progress made on the bill this week was enough for investors to shrug off the looming threat of conflict with North Korea, our best friends. Kim Jong-un's regime conducted its first missile test in over 2 months on Tuesday. So according to the Pentagon, the missile went higher than any previous North Korean test. And Pyongyang officials later claimed that it now had the ability to reach the eastern seaboard of the United States.
Wonderful. good news out of North Korea this week.
I think Trump also like tweeted Rocket Man again this week or something like that.
Oh,
so
no, we're back on
another bait and switch, you know, classic Twitter moves. But kind of switching gears a little bit to the Fed chair. Nominee.
Yeah, back to DC. Another reason why investors were willing to kind of shrug off the North Korea drama. We were excited about the testimony of Fed chair nominee Jerome Powell. Despite the partisan gridlock in Congress and the fact that the Fed chair nominee process has actually grown increasingly difficult over the past few years, up until about midway through the Bush administration, Fed chair nominees were not seen as like a partisan type of deal that would require, you know, a lot of debate. But the process has grown difficult over the past few years, although this is not expected to be one of those situations. In fact, after his testimony this week, Powell is expected to see a smooth path to confirmation, replacing Janet Yellen as Fed chair. Powell was president, is of course President Trump's pick to succeed Yellen as the head of the central bank. In his testimony this week, he all but confirmed that the central bank is on track to raise interest rates at its next policy meeting in mid-December. And the nominee also suggested that deregulation might be necessary in today's banking industry, which kind of leads us directly into our next point here, looking at how all of this news is having an effect on the stock market. It was a great week for bank stocks, lifted by the aforementioned tax bill and Powell's testimony, as well as rising bond yields and Brexit-related news that could ease concerns about U.S. banks with large footholds in London. U.S. banking behemoths surged throughout the week. J.P. Morgan is up over 6% within the past 5 days, while Bank of America has climbed over 5.5%. Citigroup has gained 5%, and Wells Fargo has gained more than 4.5% over that same stretch. Investment banking giant Goldman Sachs also gained more than 4.5% over the past week, which helped lift the Dow to a new all-time high, broke 24,000 on Thursday. Looking ahead, these record high bank valuations are going to depend on the passage of the GOP tax bill, as well as the Fed's rate hike in mid-December. Beyond that, we will need to know more about the Fed's plans for 2018, which we should get a better idea of after that next meeting. And then into 2018, these new initiatives should lift bank bottom lines. But as always, investors should keep an eye on continued geopolitical turmoils that could cause volatility, especially those that could cause volatility on a global scale, such as a nuclear war with North Korea, just say.
Additionally, this week, we saw shares of several of the world's largest tech companies, including Amazon, Alphabet, Apple, and Facebook, kind of did the opposite. So they dipped deeply in the red, especially on Wednesday, just one trading day after the stock market surged to new all-time highs. So the sell-off quickly spread throughout the entire tech sector and hit several other big names, including PayPal, Square, Nvidia, and Netflix.
It was red everywhere.
Just so much red. So there was a solid rebound on Thursday, however, with several of these names getting back about half of the value that was lost on Wednesday. But Wednesday's sell-off is likely attributable to end-of-the-month fund rebalancing, which could have included a slight shift away from tech. A strong Q3 earnings season for several industry behemoths might have inspired some profit-taking, while increased geopolitical tensions may have forced some funds to move money into more tried and true, that quote-unquote, sectors. Again, our aforementioned political news will play a huge role as we look around here. The tax bill should include provisions that could motivate some of these tech giants to bring some of their overseas cash back home, which could inspire a lot of merger and acquisition activity, which is always fun. In 2018, quick note on that, the Department of Justice, DOJ, sued the AT&T Time Warner, I think sued AT&T, for trying to buy Time Warner. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, that merger didn't go as smoothly as
they had hoped. It'll also be interesting to see how that affects other big companies trying to scoop up other big companies or smaller companies, because then now we have CVS trying to buy up Aetna, which sure. that would just be
there's a lot
huge. That's
a
huge that would regulatory be huge. Headache. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like just that's like a really good way to put it.
And then you can go to CVS and get some aspirin for that headache.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, or some health insurance, which is their goal. But however, many investors still consider tech to be a very volatile sector. So if things get worse with North Korea, cash could continue moving away from these stocks and towards more sound investments.
Yeah, it's crazy to see because we know tech has really dominated Wall Street throughout 2017. And when we look at names like Amazon, Alphabet, Apple, Facebook, we don't consider those volatile tech stocks anymore. And to many investors, those are the kind of tried and true companies mm-hmm. that you can put your cash into when there's some uncertainty. However, to many others, the dot-com boom is not that long ago.
Sure.
And the dot-com bubble burst was not that long ago. And, you know, there's still that kind of feeling that tech is a volatile sector to many. And so, yeah, sometimes when, you know, North Korea is launching the highest missile test it's ever conducted, maybe some large funds, some money managers are going, okay, let's shuffle some things around real quick. Let's take our great profits we've had in 2017 and think of a different strategy for 2018. So that's the tech rally is something everyone is going to be keeping their eye on into the new year. Have you thought about your resolutions yet?
Oh, wow. Now I feel put on the spot.
Yeah, that was out of nowhere, but... I just, honest answer, I know one thing I'm definitely doing in 2018.
Well, I didn't want to mention this earlier because I didn't want to make this podcast all about myself, but tomorrow is my birthday and I share my birthday with Britney Spears and Aaron Rodgers. So I'm very focused.
Wow, that is a star-studded cast.
I share my born day with an all-star studded cast, so I'm very focused on that.
Wonderful. as you should be.
As I should yes. be right now.
Yeah.
But I guess... New Year's resolutions. I mean, always to be kinder, be more patient with others, listen more, read more books are usually like always my New Year's resolutions.
I got a really easy
but
one.
But like, I don't have like actual like firm detailed ones yet.
I got a very easy, very detailed one that I will be able to get done in about 2 hours and it's just going to happen at some point in 2018. I want to try that cat poop coffee stuff. You know, the stuff from South America?
No, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
There's this certain type of animal and it's like it's a cat-like animal that lives in South America or Central America and it eats coffee beans and then farmers go through its poop and they take the coffee beans back out of it. And then they wash it all out and they make it coffee beans again. And then they sell it and it's like $200 a pound. Buy the cup at places that sell it. Like in the city, it's like $50 to $100 a cup. It's insanely expensive. But if you get like a half pound of it and split it with your friends and everyone has a cup, it's like manageable. So my goal for 2018 is to have the animal poop coffee.
That sounds so unappetizing.
It's like the world's most expensive cup of coffee. But it is supposed to be delicious. It's supposed to be, everybody raves about it. So I want to try.
Why not just like drink the actual coffee before the cat eats it?
Something happens to it when it goes through the whole digestive process. I think it might be more of just a novelty thing and it's just good coffee beans to begin with. But I don't know. I'm willing to get fooled by the novelty of it. I just want to try it once and say I did it.
All right.
2018 goal. I have a whole year to accomplish that. Drink one cup of coffee.
Can you buy it on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon, okay, eBay. Yeah. And, yeah, it's all over the place. So it's very easy. I should be able to prime it right to myself.
Awesome. 2-day shipping.
So well, okay. Stay tuned on that.
Well, now that you're actually dedicated to drinking good coffee instead of our not so great office coffee. Do you have like a French press? Do you have a pour over system? Like, do you have like, now I feel like you should actually do something to make the coffee taste better than just a normal 12 cup brewing system.
Yeah, you're right. As soon as you said French press, that seems like how I should be doing it. I do not have one. I know several people that do have one who would probably be a part of this group of people splitting
should,
the coffee.
They should
with
definitely
me,
so. Bring their French press
okay, so
to this event.
Sometime in mid-March, I'm going to come in on a random episode and just let you know that I French pressed cat poop coffee over the weekend. And it's going to be out of place. But for the people who listen to this episode, they are going to get it. So stay tuned on that. Stay tuned on our... we have a whole month left to come up with better New Year's resolutions. Although I liked yours.
I mean, mine's are really good.
Mine's kind of stupid. But that just about does it for us this week. As always, remember that you guys can shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. If you felt we missed anything, or if you want us to cover a different story, or if you just want to share what your New Year's resolution is. Or additionally, one more thing. Let me know if you've tried this cat poop coffee before and see if it's worth my time and money. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us. We will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.